a group.
Hour two of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew is underway, and the phone number you want to take part is 651-989-5855. You can hit #250 on your mobile device and just say TCNT. Don't forget the Friday news quiz coming up at 8:30 this morning. Hop on Twitter, use the hashtag TCNT, and predict who you think's going to win. Will it be producer Brianne, Sam Sansevier, or a member of the roundtable who just joined us, Max Reimer? Good morning.
Please vote for me. I think I got a good shot this
week. Clap.
Please clap. Yeah, that was definitely sort of a please vote for me.
Please vote.
We were working through Sam's top five. Number four was this massive fentanyl bust, right? How much was it again, Sam?
It was enough to kill 57 million Americans, and I believe that it was 254 pounds of fentanyl hidden inside an 18-wheeler carrying cucumbers.
And don't forget also 395 pounds of methamphetamine mixed in there as well.
Wow. I have fast facts on fentanyl.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I look, I'm no doctor, but clearly we don't need this. This is bad. You read this, right? So it's a potent synthetic opioid. It's very effective at relieving moderate to severe chronic pain. Oral formulations of fentanyl contain an amount of the drug that can be fatal to a child. The difference between a therapeutic dose and a deadly dose of fentanyl is minute. Like, you just need a little bit more. There are many.
Look, I mean, you know, just the tiniest bit of human error.
Yeah.
You know, and doctors and nurses, they're wonderful people and they do great work, but they also are human beings and make mistakes. It happens. Why? There's got to be better options than something where the most minute mistake could end up being fatal.
The two, a Schedule II prescription narcotic analgesic. Fentanyl is roughly, I think Sammy mentioned this earlier, 100 times more potent than morphine. It binds the body's opioid receptors and increases the dopamine levels in the central nervous system. And so that's why that heightens, you know, when it comes to heroin. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a matter of, and I would be very curious to find out if it's a matter of this is very effective in small doses of treating pain. Like, I know for me, when I went through my two open heart surgeries, I can't do morphine. Morphine screws me up. Like, I just get
sick. Does it make you sick?
I can't see. I can't read. Wow. My words get mixed up. It's weird. So I always had to take, you know, some other type of prescription, you know, opioid when I was going through. So I imagine that fentanyl is, you can give it in very small doses to help relieve pain in individuals that can't deal with the other. But holy cow, you know, being back to the border issue, putting up a physical barrier on the parts of the border and increasing the security that Trump wants to do is the right move.
It is not a manufactured crisis, not when you're picking up enough fentanyl to kill 57 million people.
Incredible.
I mean, that's like five states worth of people.
It's incredible.
That's a fifth of the population.
It's basically like the entire Midwest.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And additionally, I just want to add this in. You know, there's a lot of talk about legalizing recreational marijuana, about medical marijuana. You know, this has to be a part of that conversation. It's already been shown that medical marijuana does reduce your use of opioids. It can replace any opioids that you might be taking to deal with pain. And it does not have a fraction of the negative, especially the medical stuff where they remove the THC that, you know, ends up getting you high. It has a fraction of the risk and side effects that these opioids have.
Well, and that, not to get too conspiratorial on the thing, but who do you think and what type of lobbying groups do you think are holding back legislation that legalizes natural substances like marijuana? I'm not sure if you guys have advertisers or what, but it's the Pfizers of the world, it's big pharmaceuticals of the world who produce this stuff.
Oh, we have advertisers. I don't know if you know this.
Well, yeah. I don't know how much of it is big pharma, but
that's what I'm saying. Although they can pay the bills.
I understand. If you go back to when marijuana was originally criminalized, it was business interests that led the fight to get marijuana criminalized because, you know, the uses of hemp and other items like that, you know, would be would be a risk, would threaten a lot of status quo business interests. So the criminalization of marijuana had nothing to do with the fact that it intoxicates you.
Right.
It was all about business interests.
Well, and to go back to what you were saying, we do have pharmaceutical ads on the station and the show. They're more performance management than they are pain management.
Right. We don't want them to overperform.
So and we adhere to
those ads.
That's something that we very much adhere to here on the Justice and Drew show.
We do not
want to overperform.
Yeah. Right. We take overperformance very seriously.
Think about our partners.
Imagine if a different type of drug came across the border that would impact 57 million people. this certain type of drug would cause 57 million people to overperform.
You wouldn't want that.
Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. It'd be awkward for everybody.
I like to perform exactly to expectations.
It'd be awkward for Sam. It'd be awkward for Sam in a room full of...
It already is. No.
It already is.
No, you perform lower than expectations. So then the off chance when you do rise above it, it's a welcome change.
You keep high aspirations, though.
Right. No, you know, look.
It's terrible, by the way. This is a terrible, terrible thing that we're talking about.
This is awful.
The reality is, you should be able, if you go to the hospital, right? I hope at some point in time, if you go to the hospital, you have to go through major surgery where it's going to be a lengthy, painful recovery. Look, an open heart surgery is a lengthy, painful recovery. It's very, very difficult. I want the options. Right, I want the options of what, you know, like I do now, but I want all of them. I don't just want my morphines. I don't just want my Oxycontins. I want to know what I want my medical marijuana. Do you want that with the high or without the high? You know, I want to be able to go and say, you know, have my options laid out in front of me. And the thing of it is too, and I know that this is what we're getting way off the reservation here, and we'll get to more of Sam's top five, but I would think that even if you went further in legalizing recreational marijuana and medical marijuana and you had those options, there's still going to be plenty of people out there that are still going to go for the pharmaceutical stuff. There's still going to be a big enough market out there for it, but you're going to be able to provide an alternative that'll hopefully keep people from getting addicted to the opioids.
Yep.
Now they'll have options, at least.
Yeah. And fentanyl killed Prince. So.
Yeah, I know, right?
That should be enough right there.
It is enough right there.
Build the wall, save our future princes.
Honestly, for some Minnesota legislators, that would be enough to write legislation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's wrap up Sam's top five for a Friday.
Number five.
A California restaurant has banned the Make America Great Again hats.
Oh, it's just a matter of time. It is, man. This is the first domino. It's going to end up becoming, you watch, this year, it's going to end up becoming like the Confederate flag did. In that whole controversy, where suddenly now all the Dukes of Hazzard memorabilia became collectibles because you couldn't display them anymore.
I'm going to put a Make America Great Again hat on my house. Just a house-sized MAGA hat.
Giant MAGA hat.
Yeah.
From the Associated Press.
Jeez.
Patrons won't be served at a Silicon Valley restaurant if they wear a Make America Great Again baseball cap. J. Kenji Lopez Alt, a chef partner at the Worst Hall restaurant in San Mateo,
is that California. A real name?
Worst Hall?
With a U.
No, yeah. The person who owns it,
J. Kenji Lopez Alt.
Worst Hall Restaurant.
The most San Francisco name I've ever heard.
We're here to serve you bratwurst at Worst Hall's restaurant. Welcome to our great establishment.
Come join Klaus at Worst Hall.
Worst Hall.
We'll be enjoying our meter-long bratwurst.
We'll cook up some bangers and mash for you. It tastes good.
Bangers and mash is British.
I know. I don't care. Worst Hall is diverse. They celebrate all kinds of different cultures' foods.
You guys got any tacos?
Yes, we'll have tacos too. Yeah.
What happened to that accent? We just went from German to an ethnic slur type of Asian.
There's people getting offended by that. From the San Francisco
Chronicle. I think it's
Chronicle.
In this room.
From the San Francisco Chronicle. It hasn't... They reported, it hasn't happened yet, but if you come to my restaurant wearing a MAGA cap, you aren't getting served. Same as if you come in wearing a swastika, white hood, or other symbol of intolerance and hate.
Wow. Hey, look, you know, that's what they equate it to. That's what these people, they've gotten so irrational and so far off the deep end that they genuinely, in their heart of hearts, think swastikas, white hoods, and MAGA hats are all one and the same.
Man.
I don't know how do you talk to people that think like that?
No. You can't.
Are we going to get the reverse of the cake being baked with this? Like, are we going to have, you know, somebody go in there in a Make America Great Again hat, then be denied service, and then have a lawsuit? I'm not saying that should happen.
How is this any different? Okay, what this guy is doing in this restaurant, how is this any different from refusing to serve somebody who maybe is wearing a gay pride shirt?
So,
is this any different?
I think it's not, and I defend Kai Chang Wong
Valdez's
right to do so.
I'm not going to make a plea to the government to try to force
him. There are people who
absolutely would. I am not one of those people.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want, and don't misunderstand either. I don't want to see that happen, right? I don't want the Laura Lermers to show up at this particular restaurant. I know.
She's going to chain herself to the restaurant.
Willed it to happen. You know,
these are our heroes right now.
Yeah. And stop typing the tweets. What do you got against Laura Lermer? Okay. Don't. I'm going to ignore you. I don't want to see that happen. And I hope nobody does that, because it's unnecessary and it's a complete waste of time. But I am with you as well. I think the signs in a restaurant, you know, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone," I think those should be held true.
Sure.
If you don't want to do that, then don't do that.
I want people, I want business owners, I want everybody to wear their bias, their bigotries, their prejudices on their sleeve, so I know going in if this is an establishment or a person that I want to have a transactional relationship with. I want that information. I would rather have that information, be able to make an informed choice, than inadvertently give my money to someone who may believe and practice really horrible things with it.
And if they as a business want to choose to turn away business, that's their choice.
That's their choice. I think it's dumb. I think it's stupid. I wouldn't do it, but I'm not going to sit here and try to force someone else to live the way I would live.
I think this is a big publicity stunt it's working in the way that it's getting this guy who has like the weirdest name ever. It's getting his restaurant out there and people are talking about it, but I mean, I don't know if people are going to want to go.
Worst Hall. Yeah. It's not going to
It probably wasn't doing very good anyway.
But there is this old adage, well, it's not even old, it's like 2 years old now, get woke, go broke. And I think that a lot of restaurants and establishments are reaping what they sow when they virtue signal like this, because they have the right to refuse service to MAGA hat people. But MAGA hat people have the right to go on Google and put them on blast, and that's the free market repercussion of doing something like this. It's not a good idea, in my opinion.
J. Kenji Lopez-Alt wrote the 2015 book The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science. He declined further comment to the newspaper that had asked him about this whole situation, saying that his restaurant has received threatening emails following the tweet.
Oh, he's just trying to push his book. It's hard to sell books. he's trying to get more publicity. That's all that this is about.
San Mateo resident Jamie Huang, 42 years old, told the newspaper she has mixed feelings about the ban, saying that San Mateo is diverse and members of her family support Trump. She said, "I see where he's coming from, but I don't think you should just keep people out because of a hat." Her dining companion, Esther Sheck, 39 years old, said she believed hats had come to represent racism, intolerance, exclusivity, but she added that refusing to serve Trump supporters would exacerbate a situation where talking about differences might be better. She said they already feel like they're being demonized by what they call the liberal elite. She said we shouldn't add fire to that.
That used to be just normal, common sense human behavior. You know, somebody had a political difference. You didn't shun them.
Right.
You know, you didn't try to excommunicate them from your lives.
Right.
You know, you didn't try to salt the earth around them so they can't even go out to eat and enjoy a meal at a restaurant.
That's right.
Just for a basic different political opinion.
Well, I mean, and look, we've been taught for you know, generations now, you know, to be tolerant of other individuals.
Of course.
Right? I mean, and for crying out loud, it goes without saying. But this is only going to get worse. I guarantee this is not going to be the last restaurant that goes and does this. There probably won't be nearly as much controversy surrounding it as there was when we had the big, I don't know if you guys remember, but I remember just the weeks on end of the Confederate flag flap situation. And I'll say it again. If we're heading here now, February 1st of 2019, where in the world are we going to be come Election Day?
Oh, man.
When,
October 2020?
Yeah.
Oh,
just
my
brace
it's
yourself.
Gonna, it's going to get weird.
Yeah. Get your panic room ready.
Going
just live there
to
for
the
entire
polls
month.
To vote for Trump is going to be considered a racist act. It's going to be labeled a racist act to go vote for President Donald Trump again. That's where all this is heading. I really hope I'm wrong, but if it continues down this path, I don't see any other outcome.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Excellent job, Sam. Stellar top five. Thank you to Early Bird Electric for sponsoring Sam's top five.
Well, we'll keep with the theme. Out of in the Pioneer Press, this is Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. A Minnesota team won't be at the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Championship this week. Two of its proposed pieces were denied. One depicted President Donald Trump. That's right. Minnesota snow sculptors barred from the championship because of Trump theme. The team, state champs Dusty Thune, Kelly Thune, and David Archinger, had created a snow sculpture of Trump last year at an event in Lake Geneva that showed Trump's hair and neck as a twisted pile of feces featuring his tweets. It was called Peep and meant to evoke the president's vulgar comments about African countries. The organizers clarified rules early this year with sculptors, warning them to stay away from controversial and political designs because the event is family friendly.
Okay, so it wasn't necessarily that it was Trump.
Right.
It's that it was political and provocative.
Right. Dusty Thune said artists should provoke a conversation, and that's what we're doing.
Oh, come on.
I'm a little disgusted.
You're a snow sculptor.
They would censor art over profits.
Stop with the art.
We won our state competition in order to get to nationals.
You're not making Starry Night here, people. You're sculpting snow. Just make it into a shape and go home.
See, it could melt next week. Calm
so
down.
The team, I wish they had let him do this. The team's first proposal was called Statue of Tyranny. Ooh, that's a good book name. Oh, I like that. I'm going to write that down. It depicted Trump.
Embark, Volume 2,
Statue of Tyranny. But it had to be Volume 3 because I already have the title for Volume 2, although I could always change it. Depicted Trump as the Statue of Liberty with a child in a cage beneath him. It's all done in snow. That's the ridiculousness of this, right? Right, this is all snow sculptures, and they're doing babies in cages and snow sculptures.
It's art, John.
It's stupid art.
feels like the movie Dodgeball, where they're all just taking this way too seriously.
Yeah.
When that was turned down because of political overtones, they submitted Dissension, which depicted people being moved down an escalator into a gear. Which Thune said explored the process of self-destruction through greed and loss of empathy. Burke said the imagery was too extreme and not family-friendly. Goodness gracious, the guys are like the hostile crowd of snow sculpting. It's horrible.
Yeah, it seems very intense.
Very vicious snow sculptures.
You got like just little children.
What do they do in the summer? How do they get these creative and you know there's these political juices out during the summer months?
So maybe woodworking.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their problem though.
Maybe they're cutting hedges in the shape of
angrily chopping leaves.
Can you be a full-time snow sculptor? Do they train in the summer? Maybe that's what they do.
So ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, how do you practice?
651-989-5855. All right, coming up, a story out of the New York Post. I was a secret, we'll keep with the theme, secret Trump supporter. Model feared politics will kill her career. Plus, speaking of politics, Starbucks has issued guidelines to baristas on how to handle angry Democrats who show up in their restaurants because of the Schultz 2020 campaign.
Yo, we are losing our minds. What is
this? Yeah, how to handle angry individuals going to Starbucks because Schultz is running a 2020 campaign.
We've got more on this, plus your call, 651-989-5855, coming up right after this.
FM.
AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. You want to take part in the show, give us a call, 651-989-5855, or keep using that hashtag TCNT on Twitter. Also, use that to pick who you think's going to win the news quiz. Will be Max, will be Sam, will be Brianne, the winner today, right, of everybody who makes the correct prediction. We'll do a random drawing, getting a $50 gift card to the Ocean Air.
Nice!
Yeah. That's fancy.
Yeah.
That's a fancy restaurant.
I could take some Ocean Air right now.
It's good. If you've never been there,
it's a little warmer.
Fantastic.
Ocean Air is a little warmer.
How good is Brianne?
At the news quiz?
Yeah.
Well, she's only done it once.
Whoa. I don't know if Max asked about the news quiz. I think he was just talking in general, as a person.
No, I have my answer to that.
I think we're going to get
it. Right. So let's, thank you.
Plus.
Let's establish that.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Does general goodness translate to news quiz
results? No, it does not. It does not. But I'm here.
I am a generally good person, but very savage.
Yeah. She's
ready
scrappy,
for round two. Let's try this again.
She participated in her first news quiz, 2 weeks ago, I think, a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I think it was a bit of a learning curve, learning experience. You know, you got to know. You got to know when to buzz in. And so it was an uninspiring performance. But I think she
Wow. It's a little rough.
I think it was an inspiring performance, just wasn't a successful, you know, inspiring performance.
I think she learned from it, though. It was a learning experience. 651-989-5855. Kelly in St. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys and gals. That article that you read about the snow sculpturing contest down in Geneva, Dusty Thune. Is that any related to the Thune that used to be the council member in St. Paul?
I have no idea. I don't know how we would know.
Because on West 7th was like his district, and there's a Thune art gallery there. And if you remember David Thune, he was the one that banned
smoking. Connecting the dots.
He's got his yarn out.
I think,
if you connect, if you remember David Thune, what?
David Thune was the council member in St. Paul that banned smoking in St. Paul. And he was also the one that didn't want drunken Republicans in the Republican convention, you know, running around in St. Paul.
Well, that sounds like the kind of guy that would make a big Trump poop ice sculpture.
Well, I'm guessing that these are his kids, that Dusty must be his kid or something. I don't really know.
It's Dusty Thune and Kelly Thune. I don't know. We'll get the yarn board out.
Will we?
We'll get right on that.
A little bit of Facebook stalking when we figure it out.
Either that or we just totally slandered David Thune. There might be no relation.
That might have just happened.
So, David Thune, we apologize.
Elizabeth.
I think he's right. I think the caller's right.
Elizabeth Pipko, a 23-year-old model who's appeared in Maxim magazine, has kept a secret from her industry colleagues out of fear it would derail her career. She was a Donald Trump supporter and worked full-time for his 2016 presidential campaign.
How dare she?
Right? I decided to volunteer for Trump's presidential campaign in the spring of 2016. I never leaned liberal or conservative, but there was something about Trump, the way he spoke and his honesty, that had me convinced he was our next president. I worked in the call center in Trump Tower. Within 8 weeks, I was hired as a National Volunteer Services Coordinator for the data team and paid $4,000 a month. It was clear from the start that if I wanted to survive in modeling, though, I couldn't tell anyone about my job. After working a 10-hour day at the Trump campaign, I went to meet with my manager, not affiliated with the modeling agency. He and a colleague were enraged, just screaming about how much they hate Trump. My manager kept saying how evil the people who work for him must be and that he would never work with anyone who supported him.
Awkward.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't ever remember any conversation going the other way. I don't ever remember anybody talking about, I worked with people during the campaign. I mean, we all did, you know, who supported Hillary Clinton. I don't remember anybody going, oh, I can't. Anybody who supports, I'm sure they're out there, but I just don't remember any of those stories.
No, you don't hear about people going crazy and saying, I can't work with anyone that supports Hillary Clinton.
Right. I was terrified they would find out that I was one of these so-called evil people. So I lied. I told people I was coaching ice skating. I was a competitive figure skater for 7 years. Whenever I was really working hard at the Trump Tower. When I ran into a modeling friend on my way there one day, I immediately hid my badge and said I was running errands. But every modeling job or meeting, that the talk inevitably turned to Trump, and it was always high stress. One shoot, a photographer came in wearing a black t-shirt with a gigantic red slash over Trump's face. I was so unnerved, I could barely concentrate on the job at hand.
And this, you know, this flies in the face of the victim mentality that so many people on the left love to have right now, right? They feel like they're, you know, just because they're on the left and Trump's president, that they're an oppressed class and they're being victimized everywhere. And there's all these rabid Trump supporters out there just looking to cause mayhem and harm where, you know, we've already discussed, you can't go to a restaurant.
Yep.
You can't go to certain restaurants if you're a Trump supporter, right? If you wear garb indicating you're a Trump supporter. We've seen people, you know, drubbed out of restaurants because they've been conservative or Trump supporters. We've seen that happen a number of times, right? You know, you got people who are afraid of losing their careers, losing their livelihoods if their political leanings were ever to come to light. I mean, how do you connect, you know, this victim mentality that the left has with what's actually going on around the country?
Well, and John, it's like when you go and get a haircut and right. You don't even want to mention your job.
No.
Because you're going to end up sitting there in a chair with a lady that has scissors around your face.
Why do you think my hair looks like it does right now?
I think it looks good.
She said,
get a room.
After the race...
Drew's hair looks good, too.
Because...
Now you're just lying.
After the race, because it was public record, she went on to say that she worked for President Trump. Every time you started to type in Elizabeth Pipko into the Google search bar, Trump's name would pop up alongside mine, she said. A booker at my current agency asked me about it, confused and concerned. I told him I had no idea. My brother created a program that would continuously search my name with other keywords to get Trump bumped out because she was so worried. It's now been 2 years since the election. I don't want to keep silent any longer, even if that means saying goodbye to my modeling career forever. And that's what she did. She basically came out as a Trump supporter.
Elizabeth's story is not one that is uncommon. I know, even especially in Minnesota, being in the marketing agency, I know very prominent people who have built very prominent careers here in the Twin Cities who are conservative or libertarian, who did vote for Donald Trump, or if they didn't vote for Donald Trump, certainly weren't going to vote for Hillary Clinton, and they will never admit it. They will never talk about it publicly. These are people who work in downtown Minneapolis whose colleagues are all liberal.
I can't blame them one bit. Why would you want to subject yourself to the raft of nonsense that's going to come flowing your way?
Right. It's exactly that too, because it is a calculated approach. Yeah. Like, hey, if I come out and even talk against liberal talking points, not even saying I support a candidate, but if you come out and people can judge you as being of a certain political ideology, you will get blackballed in many, many industries. Even here in the Twin Cities, it's real.
651-989-5855 or #250 on your mobile device. We got calls lined up. More on this coming up. Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew with Max Reimer, Sam Santavir, and producer Brianne in for the Friday roundtable, and we'll be competing in the Friday news quiz, which is happening in just about an hour.
I know we're going to talk about it next hour. We haven't gotten to it yet, but it was announced earlier this morning that Spartacus is running. Cory Booker.
I'm so happy.
I can't imagine. Yeah. I'm incredibly excited about this.
Running for president is this year's starting a podcast. Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's like everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
It's going to be better than most reality shows, right? This is going to be better than, like, The Masked Singer. You know?
Maybe the next, maybe that's how they should, like, the next Democrats should, and they'll put a bunch of Democrats up there in masks and have to guess which one's going to run for
president. Oh, that's how they should do the debates.
Yeah.
Put them all in masks and then
disguise
have them,
their voices.
Yeah, disguise their voices and they can all give out their different far left leaning progressive talking points. And then you can try to figure out
which one's which.
Which crazy Democrat is behind.
I think Kamala Harris is the frog. I'm pretty sure.
This is a great idea.
I love this idea.
My guess is Cory Booker is the butterfly, but I'm not sure.
Representative Tom Emmer, what do you think of this idea?
Well, based on her Ancestry.com results, I know what mask Elizabeth wants.
Whoa! Tom's coming in strong.
Tom, bringing the spice.
One question, Elizabeth Warren, Max, masked candidate, can you paint with all the colors of the wind? I'm out.
Good morning, Representative Emmer. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. Did you manage the polar vortex all right? Did you get through the last couple of days?
You know what? Even for me, and Andrew, you know I love cold, but even for me, that was not cold. That hurt so good. And I would say that when I was leaving Washington, D.C., it's kind of fun because as I was flying out Wednesday, all I was hearing is, oh, it's so cold here. It was 28 above.
Oh, my.
It was a badge of honor to push the weather thing on my phone and show the baggage guy. It's minus 28 where I'm going.
Yeah.
They were the ones laughing when I got on the plane.
Right? Yeah. They were more than happy to stay there in their 28 above weather, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure the guy, as I was walking away, I thought I heard him say, I suppose you think moron is two words, too. Yeah.
Okay. So yesterday we covered the story, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it as well. There was a vote in the House to add an amendment to a bill that was going to give federal employees pay raises across the board. Republicans tried to attach an amendment to that would deny those raises to any employee that had been disciplined for sexual misconduct. And on a nearly straight party line vote, Democrats said no. No, we're not going to attach that amendment. We're going to give these raises across the board, even to those federal employees that have been disciplined for sexual misconduct. The entire Minnesota Democratic congressional delegation all voted no. Angie Craig, Ilhan Omar, Dean Phillips, and so on. And Ewan Stauber, I believe, are the only yeses from Minnesota. Colin Peterson as well was a no vote. What possible rationale did House Democrats have in pushing back on this amendment?
You know, there is no rationale. It's like, so first off, it's a political deal for them to offer this 2.6% raise. A couple of years ago, the Republicans in the House were pushing for the first significant raise for our military servicemen and women in several years. You know how hard it was for us to get that through the House? We did not get any Democrat support. And yet we got it done. Our military servicemen and women got a significant raise in the last round. So what do? Right out of the bat? And it's interesting. I mean, I don't know that we have to work too hard to connect the dots or, in John's thing, paint with the winds. if you think for a second, okay, we just had a 35-day shutdown. It was very hard for several federal workers because they weren't getting paid and they still had to work. And now they want to offer this cute little bill for a 2.6% raise for federal workers. I don't know. Maybe it smells like a little bit of a gotcha, Republicans. You know, we're going to put you in an awkward place. But I think Republicans are like, if the money's there, let's actually have this conversation. Sure. But we think if you're going to do this, that anyone who has committed sexual misconduct doesn't deserve to have the raise. And you know what was really rich about the entire scene is while this vote was taking place, while this debate was taking place on the House floor, the gentleman who is occupying the chair is a representative from California named Tony Cardenas, who, by the way, in April 2018, it was reported that he's been sued by a woman alleging that he sexually assaulted her when she was a teenager.
Yeah, drugged her and sexually assaulted her from the story that I read.
Yeah, I mean it's political theater at its worst, depending on which side you're on. At its best, if you like this sort of thing. The sad part is, if you want to just look at the policy, why would we ever pay a federal employee with taxpayer dollars, by the way, who has committed some sexual assault? And this takes me back to when we were in the Minnesota State Legislature, and I kept trying to pass a law that would prevent, would allow us to deal with teachers who have committed this sort of thing. It was the same thing. The Democrats in the Minnesota House wouldn't allow us to discipline teachers in the same way. I don't know if this is some consistent whatever it is that they have on their side, but you would think the difference in between my experience in the Minnesota legislature and our experience this past week is something called the Me Too movement. Apparently that movement is over. I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, so much of those things are political. And not to, I don't want it to sound like I'm downplaying, you know, the catalysts behind the Me Too movement at all, or anybody's individual experiences. But as happens so often, a lot of these movements, they sort of organically crop up, but then they quickly become co-opted by political interests. And you saw that happen with Black Lives Matter. You saw that happen with Occupy. You saw it happen to an extent with the Me Too movement. It became less about the issue of sexual assault and sexual dynamics in the workplace, and more about, we got to go out there and elect Democrats. And now that the Democrats had a successful 2018 midterm, right, suddenly you're getting a lot of crickets from the Me Too movement. And clearly, you know, they didn't take it, the ones running for office clearly didn't take it very seriously when they're more than happy to give raises to federal workers who are who have been disciplined for sexual misconduct. The debate shouldn't be, are they going to get the raise or not? The debate should be, why are they still employed?
Amen. Amen. That is the point.
We know that Trump came out and talked about the extension for 3 weeks and looking to Congress to fund what he wants with the wall. But he also said it was a waste of time recently. And I think the expectation is that, you know, that funding's not going to come through. And President Donald Trump may move towards a national emergency tactic in order to fund the wall or a barrier, which I'm on board with. But curious to get your thoughts on where things are currently and the potential of the president doing that.
Well, let's just start with the fact that, we used to refer, we used to refer to the liberal agenda of Nancy Pelosi. Gentlemen, we're not talking about liberal Democrats anymore. We're talking about the Socialist Democrat Party. They are unabashed. And when you talk about what's going on, we've got a Speaker of the House who somehow, through every available tool she could come up with, she leveraged herself back into that position by the thinnest of margins. It takes 218 votes to become the speaker. She got 220. And in order to do that, she had to get the votes of three of the poster children for the socialist, which you can be even stronger, movement, because they are, the anti-Semites as well. You've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, otherwise known as AOC, a.k.a. the architect of chaos. You've got Rashida Tlaib with the potty mouth from Detroit. And you've got our own, sadly, Ilhan Omar, who these people are trying to get farther and farther to the left. You think Obama wanted to fundamentally change this country. These people don't even recognize what a constitutional republic is. And the sad part is they're coming after you. Anybody out there who thinks this is politics as usual better go back and pull the book Road to Serfdom by Hayek, which was written during World War II. This kind of governance only leads to one place. It leads to tyranny. It leads to people taking away your liberties and taking away anything you've worked hard to own. That's why you hear them say, not just a 70%, we're going to take 70 cents of every dollar you earn. Now Ilhan Omar says we're going to take 90 cents of every dollar. Then she turns around and compares Israel, the last bright light of freedom in that part of the world, to Iran. I mean, these people are crazy. So getting back to your question, John, if the speaker loses three of these people, She is going to lose her speakership. Now, these people believe in open borders. And by the way, they can call themselves as moderate as they want, but the Dean Phillips and the Angie Craigs in our town, they're complicit. They're willing participants in what is a terrible thing that my grandfather, who was a proud Democrat, who once told me he was the only compassionate, loving human being of his community because he was the only Democrat. My grandfather would be so upset today to see that this is not about the traditional Democrat Party. This is not John F. Kennedy's Democrats. These people would make Marx blush, all right? You're complicit if you're not standing up and fighting against them. And that, I think, is what Trump is dealing with when he tries to sit down. You started out by saying this is what he wants. That $5.7 billion is what the Border Patrol has asked for. That $5.7 billion is what Homeland Security, the experts, have said we need to shore up our southern border. The president is just connecting this to his promise to build a wall during the campaign. And you've got people on the Democrat side that they will do anything to not participate. And Nancy Pelosi, she's got not just one arm. She's got both arms tied behind her back. There's nothing she can do. So at the end of the day, I hope the president doesn't get to the emergency powers issue because I'm not a fan of that. That sets bad precedent. But he's going to have to look at how you deal with this problem because he's dealing with some unreasonable people on the other side that, quite frankly, you know, they don't care when you say a country without a border is not a country at all because they don't see the America that you and I see.
Tom, we just had a January jobs report come out 10 minutes ago. The U.S. economy created 304,000 jobs in January. The expected number of jobs was 170,000. So almost double the jobs created that was expected. I'm interested. People keep kind of prognosticating that we're going to hit an economic recession, that the Trump tax policies and the economic policies that the Republican House and Senate have passed are not working. How do we reclaim this message? Because this was supposed to be a month of slowdown for job creation, and we've almost doubled what was expected.
I love the way you set that up, because look, you're going to have our colleagues on the other side of the aisle. If you're a raging socialist, which, you know, Ocasio-Cortez isn't shy about saying that's who she is, and her colleagues, if you're a raging socialist, okay, you're going to attack this thing and this is bad, right? Because only some people are benefiting off of this. And this is just making the wealthy more wealthy. They forget that we're expanding the pie and a rising boat lifts all boats, right? Then you're going to have the other ones. You're going to have the moderate ones saying, see, we elected Democrats, a majority in the House, and look at how well our economy is.
Come on. No one believes that, though. How can you run on that?
What do you mean? They ran on absolutely nothing the last 2 years, and they got elected. They ran on, we don't like the other guy. These people are going to steal your health care, even though they'd already done it. Even though they did it when they were in charge. They created this thing called the Affordable Care Act, which has been nothing but a train wreck ever since. The idea that they have offered anything of substance, and it's really sad because you want to try and work with people. But as you try to work with these Democrats, it's like trying to meet them as you're crossing the river. They're going the other way.
Now, Tom, we only got about a minute left, and I want to give you a chance real quick to talk about this just very quickly. Next week is you're playing hockey. You're playing hockey up there on the hill. You got hockey on the hill, and I know it benefits some great charities. So tell us really quickly about that.
Next Wednesday, the 6th of February, this will be the third time that I've participated. It's a great event. We've got it's sponsored by the NHL, and you've got their charities. There's the Fort DuPont Ice Hockey Club, which was created for children in the area, inner city children that have a 100% high school graduation rate. This is what's happened since this started because we raise money for inner city college scholarships. It's also partnered with the USA Warriors, you know, our Wounded
Warriors.
That's
awesome.
We have some charity games with them too. And I'll tell you,
what position do you play?
Usually left out, but this one I'm going to, I'm actually going to try and be on the ice. I've said over my lifetime, I skate better than I walk, which is true, but I played Monday night with a bunch of 20-year-old staffers and, boy, was I disappointed. I finally felt like my age and I was getting very frustrated. So let's hope that the Fountain of Youth springs anew come next Wednesday.
Well, good luck and have a lot of fun. That is a great event, and I'm sure you're excited to be participating in it. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, if you see that old white-haired guy huffing and puffing on the outdoor rink, you might have an idea who it is.
Take care, Tom.
See ya.
All right, coming up, we do have some audio to play for you. Cory Booker did enter the 2020 race. We have his campaign ad. Plus, we do have audio courtesy of the Daily Wire. And Representative Tom Emmer mentioned it of Ilhan Omar proposing an extreme tax rate. We'll get into that. We'll also be diving into the what the baristas need to say to angry Starbucks customers who show up after their former CEO decided he was going to run as an independent for president.
Also, we will play the Friday news quiz in just a little over a half an hour from now. Make your picks on Twitter. Use the hashtag TCNT. Will it be Max? Will it be Sam? Will it be Brianne emerging victorious? You could win yourself a $50 gift card to the Ocean.